The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Thursday, January 2nd, 2020. What to know today about several new laws now in effect across the country, why it was a tense 2 days at the U.S. Embassy in Iraq, and remembering an NBA icon. Plus, can AI find cancer better than doctors? The first doll with a hearing aid, and another music milestone for Mariah Carey. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday's bonus interview. We're talking about New Year's resolutions and productivity. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. It's a new year, and that means new laws taking effect in states across the country. There are a lot of them, so we can't cover them all, but as ABC News points out, the laws taking effect as of January 1st include everything from minimum wage requirements to marijuana to consumer privacy rules to gun regulations. Here are some of them. As we mentioned on Monday, more than 20 states and 26 cities and counties will be boosting the minimum wage required. And in 8 states, they'll start collecting new or increased fees on electric vehicles. Since electric cars use less gas, states aren't bringing in as much money as they used to from taxes on gasoline, money that usually goes towards things like road improvements. So states like Alabama, Kansas, Ohio, and Oregon hope the new fee will help cover those costs. What else? Well, in Tennessee, a gun regulation will now be more relaxed. CNN reports it's now easier for people there to get a concealed carry permit. But some other states, Colorado, Hawaii, and Nevada, are going in the other direction. New laws allow people to ask a judge to take someone else's guns away. That's if they think the person is an extreme risk to themselves or someone else. They're known as red flag laws. Illinois is now the 11th state to allow recreational use of marijuana for adults. Oregon joins the growing list of states banning single-use plastic bags. And in California, a new privacy law is getting a lot of attention. In fact, maybe you've gotten some extra emails about updated privacy policies from various companies. This is likely why. The California Consumer Privacy Act, or CCPA, requires companies doing business in the state to notify customers about how they'll make money using consumer data. Companies are also now required to hand over all the personal info they've collected about a customer if it's requested. Oh, and just a reminder about a new federal law, so impacting the entire country. This one increases the smoking age. You now have to be at least 21 anywhere in the U.S. to buy any tobacco product. Things are even more tense right now between the U.S. and Iran. There were 2 days of violent clashes and a breach at the U.S. Embassy in Iraq. The Washington Post reports thousands of Iran-backed militia members and supporters stormed the U.S. Embassy in Iraq this week, forcing U.S. diplomats and staffers into safe rooms. Protesters set the reception area of the embassy on fire, smashed windows, and sprayed graffiti. The AP reports those protesters did leave last night, but the U.S. has already responded by sending hundreds of additional troops to the Middle East, and President Trump said Iran would pay a big price. Though later, he added he does not want a war with Iran. At this point, Iran is denying involvement in the incident in Iraq. So what prompted all of this? It's basically about retaliation. The U.S. blamed the militia group for the death of a U.S. contractor and then sent airstrikes that killed 25 militia fighters. Those deaths then prompted the militia supporters to storm the U.S. embassy. Keep in mind, the U.S.-Iran relationship has already been going downhill for the last couple of years. Some fear these tensions will continue to escalate from here. It's not clear yet what comes next. Well, demonstrators in Hong Kong marked the new year with another massive protest, and about 400 people were arrested. Remember, people there have been holding anti-government demonstrations for months now. NBC News says even as clashes with police continue, many say they're optimistic that their demands for a new leader and more will be met this year. And in Australia, military ships and planes are now deployed to help towns dealing with massive, ongoing, and deadly wildfires there. The AP reports they're delivering water, food, and fuel to areas that have been cut off from resources because of these fires. Former NBA commissioner David Stern has died. CBS Sports says Stern was the NBA's longest-serving commissioner, In 3 decades, Stern transformed the league into a financial powerhouse and made it one of the most watched sports in history. He also helped create the WNBA, or Women's National Basketball Association. Stern retired and left the NBA in 2014, but he still worked with the league. He had a brain hemorrhage a couple of weeks ago and had been in the hospital until he died yesterday. He was 77. New research found artificial intelligence, or AI, can spot breast cancer sometimes better than doctors. Reuters reports Google's health division used AI to read mammograms, and the system caught some cases originally missed by doctors, while also cutting down on the number of false positives. This is not ready for clinical use yet, but both AI specialists and radiologists say the early results are promising, and this type of tech can help support doctors. The Wall Street Journal says Google has also come up with similar AI systems to improve screenings for lung cancer, eye disease, and kidney injury. The popular video sharing app TikTok just released its first transparency report. It shows which countries have asked the app to take down certain content. The Verge reports China is notably not mentioned in this report. It shows China did not request TikTok take down any content, not once, in the first half of 2019. Remember, TikTok has faced some controversy because it's owned by the Chinese tech giant ByteDance, and there are concerns China's government censors content on the app, like about protests happening in Hong Kong. But TikTok says that's not happening. Still, the U.S. government has opened a national security review of the app, and now both the Army and the Navy have banned the use of TikTok on government-issued smartphones. In response, TikTok has released this new transparency report and is also looking at other ways to try to separate itself from those concerns. When the ball dropped at midnight, the popular 90s sitcom Friends disappeared from Netflix, which means one of the most popular shows on Netflix can now not be watched on any streaming service. It'll be available on the new HBO Max when it launches later this year. Variety says Warner Media paid an estimated $425 million for the rights. But for now, Friends fans aren't too happy that it's not available. Until May, the only way to watch Friends is to buy the show. In fact, the Friends complete series is apparently one of the top-selling DVDs on Amazon right now. Or you can catch the reruns when they play on cable TV. Mariah Carey is now the first artist ever to top the Billboard charts in 4 separate decades. E! News says her holiday classic, All I Want for Christmas Is You, has been the number one song on the Billboard Hot 100 chart for the 3rd week in a row. And since this week ends in a new decade, that means Carey already had a hit in 2020. The American Girl's 2020 Girl of the Year is a surfer named Joss Kendrick, who rocks a hearing aid, American Girl's first doll to have hearing loss. American Girl worked with Olympic hopeful surfer Caroline Marks for real-world inspiration. And by the way, it comes as surfing will be part of the Olympics this year for the first time ever. The Mattel-owned company also partnered with the Hearing Loss Association of America and donated $25,000 to the organization. That's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. And this week, we're talking about actually achieving your New Year's resolutions, despite the statistics. And we're chatting about how to be more productive and joyful in 2020 overall. My guest today is Tanya Dalton. She's a productivity expert and founder of Inkwell Press Productivity, a company centered around productivity tools and training. She recently released her new book, The Joy of Missing Out, and she's the host of the Productivity Paradox podcast. She's been featured on various media like HGTV, Real Simple, and more. So here's my conversation with Tanya Dalton. Hi, Tanya. Thanks so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
Thanks for having me on.
So I want to talk about New Year's resolutions because studies have shown less than 25% of people actually stay committed to their resolution after just 30 days, and actually less than 10% accomplish them. So first, why do you think that is the case?
Yeah, it is kind of a scary statistic, right? But I think the problem is, honestly, New Year's resolutions are often said around a table. So there's not a lot of forethought before, and there's not a lot of follow through afterwards. And I think that's probably the biggest issue, is that it's really, you know, if we took a little more time with those New Year's resolutions, they really could work for us.
How do we take more time?
What I love about New Year's resolutions is that they do, you know, they give us that intentionality to sit and kind of reflect back about where we've been over the last year and where we want to go in the coming year. And so it sets an intention for the year. And I think intention is really important. I think it's the follow through that's missing most times when it comes to New Year's resolutions. It's the idea of, okay, here's my goal. Here's what I want to have happen in this coming year. how am I going to actually do that? We can't just say, you know what, this year is going to be the year I run that marathon and then not make a plan to go running, right? We got to lace up those shoes. We got to, you know, maybe even go to the running store to buy the shoes in the first place. So let's do that next step, which is actually creating that action plan to make this happen.
Right. I know you talk a lot about overwhelm, and it sounds like maybe when you have too many New Year's resolutions, you end up just feeling overwhelmed and not doing anything.
Yes, that's exactly right. I think, you know, if you think about it and you set, let's say, you know, 5 New Year's resolutions that you're gonna lose weight and eat healthier, you're gonna, you know, stop smoking, you're gonna go running, you're gonna do all these different things, and we try to do them at the same time, we can't be successful at all things at all at the same time. We need to have time where we can really lean into each one and treat each one like a priority. And I really like to say that each quarter, try having a different focus. Lean into a priority for a time and then counterbalance, and then lean into another priority for another time.
We've all heard of the term FOMO, the fear of missing out, but your book is all about JOMO to help you be more productive. So explain what JOMO is for us, and when did this term really become more of a trend? I know it's picked up a lot of momentum lately.
It has, which has been great, because JOMO is the joy of missing out. I think so often people give into this fear of missing out, the FOMO. They worry about, oh, if I don't say yes to every opportunity, they're only going to knock once and not come back around. So the joy of missing out really is about actively choosing what you want to focus in on. I like to tell people that we have a lot of joy in our everyday lives, but because of that clutter and the noise and the busyness, we tend to not see it. It tends to get, you know, pushed aside because we're so busy chasing busy that we miss out on that. And so if we instead choose to miss out on some of the opportunities that aren't really designed for us, if we choose to miss out on saying yes out of obligation and guilt instead of out of desire, if we choose to say, I'm not going to be busy, we can find more joy in our everyday lives. It's not just about shutting yourself in on Friday night and eating ice cream and watching Netflix. It really is about creating a life for yourself that feels more intentional, where you're focusing in on the things that are truly most important and choosing to miss out on the rest.
What's your best first step to have more JOMO in your life?
Yes, well, I love to tell people that one of the first things you can do is really prioritize. So get rid of your to-do list, which I know for a lot of people is like, oh, but my to-do list is what I use every day. But your to-do list is bringing you everywhere but where you truly want to go. It's too long, it's unorganized, it's jumbled. If instead of doing a to-do list, you instead do a priority list where you list out what you want to accomplish each day by priority, and you start at the top, and I work through this whole thing in The Joy of Missing Out in my book of how you create a priority list. You really start at the top and you work your way down, and that allows you to have some big wins in your day. I think we so often get caught in this belief that if we are not busy, we're somehow failing, that we should be checking 50 things off of our list each and every day. But if instead of choosing to check off 50 things, we chose instead to do 5 things with intention that are really priority items, we would see more growth, we would see us getting closer to our goals, and ultimately, we would slip into bed at night feeling more successful. And I think that's a really big thing. So a priority list is essentially a to-do list with intention.
I love this. So to wrap things up and summarize, give us your top 3 ways to be more productive or reach your New Year's resolution in 2020.
The first thing I would tell people is to process each day as it comes. I think one of the biggest productivity mistakes people make is they want to map out their whole week on Sunday, what they're going to do on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And by doing that, you're not really allowing yourself that grace for, you know, some days you're going to wake up and it's going to be amazing and you're going to do some great things. And other days, not so much. And sometimes you wake up and you've got allergies or you've got, you know, things going on that have stressed you out and you haven't had a good night's sleep. So processing each day as it comes and creating a plan for each and every day as it arrives to you and treating each day as a new opportunity allows you to really create a day that's achievable. I think that's the first thing, is creating achievable days by processing each day as it comes. I think also making sure that you're planning for white space. I think that, you know, white space and time for rest is one of those things we tend to undervalue, that we really like think that we're supposed to be busy all the time. But if you carve out space for yourself that's really designed for you to relax and rest and recharge, when we recharge, we can shine our light even brighter. You know, we really need to give ourselves time so that we can inhale so that we can exhale. And so by scheduling that into our calendar, it really gives us that permission we need to feel good about not doing anything. And that's a really important thing that we tend to forget about. And then my third tip really would be to not feel like goals have to all start in January. Really walk away from that whole idea. I would love for your listeners to think about the things they want to accomplish in 2020 and really projecting forward what they want their lives to look like at this time next year. And then think to yourself, when can these goals start? They don't have to start in January. Maybe some of those goals should start in May, or maybe some in September. And remembering that giving each goal the time it needs to flourish and grow will help you achieve it and to feel even more successful.
And you can read more about our guest in today's show notes. That's also where you'll find the sources and links to all the stories we talked about today. Just go to thenewsworthy.com, click episodes, and find today's date. Thank you so much for listening today. If you found this valuable or interesting, please do consider sharing it and passing along the information. The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 in the morning every weekday. We'll chat again tomorrow. Happy New Year and have a great day.